And now on Nights with Steve Price, it's time for Medical Talk. Thanks to Westmead Private Hospital, Western Sydney's Centre for Surgical Excellence.
Indeed. We love talking to our experts from Westmead Private. They really do inspire many of us. And to talk to us tonight about the latest innovations in her particular field is in the studio with me, Dr. Suchitra Paramesvaran, better known as Dr. Sue Para. Nice to meet you. Thank you for coming in.
Nice to meet you, Steve, and thank you for asking me.
Your specialty is ear, nose, throat. So what do we call your speciality?
It's now called otolaryngology, head and neck surgery. So they made it more complicated.
That's harder,
Steve,
to work out.
That's right.
What did that used to be? Ear, nose and throat specialist.
So now the specialty encompasses pretty much every part of the body up to the collarbones.
So you're a neck up person.
That's right, collarbones and up.
One of your colleagues last week we were talking to about cosmetic surgery, so he was all parts of the body. Oh. Tonight it's shoulders up.
That's right.
What got you interested in this particular field of medicine when you were studying?
Well, I've always wanted to do surgery, and I got attracted to ear, nose and throat surgery because 20 years ago I could see that it was the specialty that was growing and changing very quickly. It was very, very dynamic, and it now looks like a different specialty really. To what I grew up with, put it this way, 20 years ago. And what I like about it is that you can do with it what, as much or as little as you want. You can make of it what you want.
As a child of the 50s and 60s, when we were growing up, you got a sore throat. If it recurred, they said you had tonsillitis. If it got bad, you went and got your tonsils out, and something called adenoids that I could never quite work out whether I had them out or not were also removed. That's how basic it was back then.
That's exactly right. And thank goodness now things have changed. We've got guidelines on how to assess children for whether or not they need their tonsils and adenoids removed. And the tonsils and adenoids are, you know, part of our immune system. So the tonsils are the two round masses of tissue at the back of the mouth, in between the little dangly bit in the middle called the uvula.
Yes.
The adenoid is a single mass of tissue at the back of the nose. And these three structures comprise our immune system.
So
part of our immune system.
Why did God pop them in there? What do they do?
Well, it actually confers immunity, Steve. But sometimes in children, it can cause problems by way of either infection or obstruction or even both. So the kids who have infection have tonsillitis, so inflammation of the tonsils, and they can present with sore throat, difficulty swallowing. They might have a very high temperature. And, Steve, these kids are quite unwell. They might have a smelly breath.
Why is it so recurring?
Well, we don't know why some kids are susceptible to tonsillitis and other kids are not. But the main thing is that if a child has got these symptoms and they're unwell, and particularly with the school-age kids, it might lead to a lot of time off school, we need to diagnose and manage. The other group of kids present with obstruction. So some of these kids present with very loud snoring, and a small group of them, up to about 3%, present with breath-holding attacks, what we call apneas. And these kids have, up to 3% of children in Australia under the age of 10 can have obstructive sleep apnea.
Well, that's a serious illness, isn't it? I mean, obviously, it's a dangerous obstruction at night. Stop breathing and that can cause a major problem.
That's exactly right. It can put pressure on the heart. It can cause cardiovascular issues if not managed. But more so from the quality of the life issues, it causes sleep fragmentation, waking up a lot during the night, restless sleep pattern, tired child in the morning. You might even note dark circles under their eyes. And particularly with the school-age kids, the teachers might report poor concentration, behavioral issues, etc. So these two groups of kids, essentially may not have a very good quality of life. So we need to look to see which kids we need to attend to intervene on.
Most often we think of snoring as being an affliction for middle-aged men, predominantly, not children. Yeah. How would parents... I mean, you've talked there about dark circles under their eyes and always being tired. They'd be the major symptoms. But if you are hearing a younger child under 10 snoring, should you be alarmed?
Yes. So you should certainly, well, not alarmed. Let's not use the word alarmed, Steve. You should be aware.
So it'd be a hint to you.
Yeah, information is power.
Yep.
So if a mother can be aware that the snoring, if the snoring occurs and it's just loud but there are no breath-holding attacks, that's what we call benign snoring. And up to 12% of children can have benign snoring. Wow. But if they're apneic, then we need to do something about it.
And you would then be more inclined then to remove tonsils and adenoids. And or, is that what you do?
Well, so in the context of a developmentally normal child that's not obese, and if we look at the back of the mouth, they've got large tonsils that almost meet in the midline. The mother might have even videoed the sleep, so you can actually hear the snoring and see the breath-holding attacks. Yeah. I love it. I love smartphones, Steve. It's the best thing ever. I love it. And if I can see that the child is apneic, and it's been a long history with a tired child, poor performance in school, etc., yes, we can start thinking about removing the tonsils and probably the adenoids. At the time of surgery, we examine the back of the nose to confirm the size of the adenoids and remove them. And in the context of this sort of child, we don't need a sleep study. But in the context of a developmentally delayed child or a child under the age of two or a child where we're not sure what's contributing to the sleep disordered breathing, a sleep study is essential. And for that, I'm grateful to my excellent pediatric colleagues at the sleep unit at Westmead Children's Hospital for the provision of this particular service.
So a child would be taken in and would spend several nights there and be videoed and studied?
One night. They will stay one night overnight at the Westmead Children's Hospital to have a sleep study.
And what do you see after that?
Yep, and then I will get a report back from my excellent sleep physician colleague about the nature of the sleep, and there'll be various parts of the report in terms of whether there's mild, moderate, severe obstructive sleep apnea, how many times they stop breathing, and so on and so forth. But so this group of kids will need to have a sleep study first. And in terms of the tonsillitis group of kids, we have got set guidelines, Steve. So at this point in time now, so we know which kids to intervene on. We're looking at 7 episodes or more of genuine tonsillitis a year, or 5 episodes or more for 2 years running, a year for 2 years running, or 3 episodes or more for a year for 3 years running. So we have guidelines to follow, but we can use our own clinical judgment on case-by-case basis. So if a child comes in and they've not quite met those indications, but they're running high temperatures or even getting febrile convulsions or having a lot of time off school, the parents are taking time off work, then we can, you know, talk to them about the pros and cons of surgery.
In the past, did we take tonsils out too readily?
Well, I think, as you rightfully say, in the 1950s and 60s, not only did one child have their tonsils out, but the doctor might then say, oh, well, we might as well do all the siblings as well. So the whole family. So we went through from that phase, then we went through a phase where the children were not getting surgery at all and then really suffering, then having to get themselves sorted out in their adult life. But I think, Steve, we've got a really nice balance at the moment. And I think that's the innovation with our management of tonsils and adenoids. It's our thought process behind how we think about managing it. And at Westmead Private Hospital, I'm very blessed to have fabulous nurses that work with me, and they prepare these children for surgery. So we run a tour on the Saturday, and the kids meet practice nurse, Nurse Karen, who will take them up to the operating theatre environment
to make
with their
them
parents.
Feel more relaxed.
Yep, and then they play act. They wear the white gown. They pretend to have a little needle, you know, using a straw at the back of the hand. They pretend. They play with the mask that will put them to sleep. They wear, the special shoes, the special hat. So when they come in on the Wednesday, 4 days later, it may not seem as strange for them. Of course, they're still going to be scared, but it's a little bit better. And the mothers have and fathers have said to me that they have noticed, you know, that that it has helped their child.
That's a great idea.
Most of the time, yes. I'm very blessed to have the service at Westmead Private Hospital.
Fantastic idea. Just finally, you mentioned the word obesity before. Does our national issue with obesity impact on in your area?
Yeah. So this is some in terms of outcome for the children. So if we've got an obese child that ends up having tonsils and adenoids out for obstructive sleep apnea, and we've got a developmentally normal non-obese child having the same operation, the developmentally normal non-obese child will get the predictive outcome. Their sleep pattern will be improved tremendously, whereas the obese child will probably not do as well. They might be maybe 50% better, and therefore they need to return for further sleep studies and further management.
Yeah, it comes down to then having issues about what they eat and exercise.
That's exactly right. And the outcome in the end, if we choose the, you know, do the right operation for the right child at the right time, we'll end up with a thriving child doing well in school, a well child with a good quality of life.
Very nice to meet you. Westmeadprivate.com.au has all of that information we were just discussing. You can go and have a look at that. Dr. Sue Parra, very nice to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.